It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
Good morning, Citizen Lobbyist. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Mike. How are you? Pretty outside. Pretty.
Yes, nothing like a fresh fall of snow to sort of cover up things that are underneath. Well, I think this week's Palmer City Council meeting was a similar kind of situation where some things were uncovered. And, well, you were able to watch or listen?
I was able to join you at 6:09 on the Radio Free Palmer YouTube channel.
Ah, very good. Well, that's a good place because let's see, did you see the swearing in or any of the rest of that, or where did you begin?
So when I got there, it was pretty clear there were. Let's talk about role, I guess. First, Mike, Brian Daniels, Councilman Brian Daniels was there. Councilwoman Pamela Moline was there, and Steve Carpenter. Carrington was there, sorry. And so they were there at the dais along with the attorney and the clerk and a new clerk at the beginning of the meeting, and then Mr. Best was in Juneau on the phone, and both Ms. Combs and Councilwoman Valerius were both on Zoom into the meeting. So
right.
That was the role.
Did we say the manager was there, John Moosey?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, he was there. Yeah. Yep. Sorry, missed him.
And the introductions that began were, of course, for the new person in the clerk's office. Holly was there, right. And also now the attorney has been there a couple of times, so she's mm-hmm. no longer brand new sitting up there. Right.
Two meetings, I think, under her desk.
Yep.
I got in just about the manager was giving an interesting report on some findings from some type of a poll they had taken, maybe at the chamber, about how to make Palmer a better place.
Right.
That's the way I understood it.
Right. And I didn't The chamber has pretty good representation. I'm always careful when the poll is taken to say, okay, identify the participants in that group that would be saying one thing or another, and then asking the question, of course, how representative would that poll be of the population of either business people or general population in the city? But at least it's what it is. It's something of a straw poll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ones I got in on, and I know there were some in front of me, and I haven't listened to the beginning of the tape, which I meant to before this, but was one of my priorities, which I always like to hear about, is clearing the sidewalk sooner.
Oh, yes.
I think that the manager did point out, and I would absolutely like to shout out, of really how well I think, at least on my little part of downtown Palmer, how much better Public Works is doing this year. And not only getting the snow moved off the street and the sidewalks, but removing the snow. That has been sort of a problem in Palmer. But I think Jude Billifer is on top of it from the Public Works Department. And now people just want it done a little quicker. So
right. And the manager pointed to that. I'm going to just do a quick leap. I'll leap to the end of the meeting because there was a comment made by one of the people speaking who pointed out that all of that might, well, it's good. However, coming to the meeting, there was a note that the walkway leading into the city hall had not been cleared.
Yeah. Well, I bet it will be next time.
I have the feeling that that's the case. Okay. Well, let's roll back. Go ahead.
Just a couple of other things that they pointed out. Someone had suggested more holiday lights. We like our holiday light. The covered skateboard park, covering the skateboard park, because apparently kids don't want to use that when it's raining or snowing, and they have a way of packing into the local businesses there. So with some expressed some concern. More parking overall downtown, I guess. I I take umbrage to that a little bit. I think we're just trained not to park on the street. And convention center and hotels and more attention to the agricultural portion. So I don't know how much I captured of that, Mike. Because
I think you actually captured most of it. Let me just throw in again another piece. Prior to the meeting, I had a chance to speak to the Public Works Director, Jude, because I had reported a couple of times and was curious about the lighting in downtown Palmer between the flashing red light and Vagabond Blues, the street lights on either side, and also those lights that are out there in front of the Palmer Depot. I noticed they had gone out, and he told me that, yes, during all of that outage time, a transformer had blown, and they're awaiting parts. So there is a hope for the future that the lights will be on. I can tell you that one of them is on now, the one that's closest to the flashing red light. And just having that one on makes a huge difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're walking in the dark.
Yeah, good to know. It's kind of an interesting thing. That main road of Palmer, Alaska Street, is actually a state road. But I know the city does maintain it and all that. I don't know if that makes who takes care of that type of lighting, but it's really important to that area to have it nice and lit up. So I'm glad you brought that to attention. And whatever I've brought to Mr. Bulliford's attention has been acted on really quick. So
yep.
Go Public Works.
Okay.
Your hands full.
So people were waiting, I think, and by the way, I was there, and there was not a seat to be seen. There was standing room only, actually, for two issues that came up. I think one was in support of the oath of office given to a brand new city council member, and also then a topic that involved an issue that was, we'll get into that, a plaque that had been taken down, a memorial plaque that had been taken down at the MTA Event Center. But let's talk about the oath of office. Comment about that.
Yeah, I guess it shows in the record that, and of course, we've changed a little, the city of Palmer has changed a little bit on how they appoint a vacancy in the city of Palmer for a council since July. They passed an ordinance that makes the mayor basically pick who from a list of candidates who is going to hold that seat in the future, or a vacant seat, and then he brings it to the council, and if unless anybody objects his pick, then they are seated. And so in this case, it looked like there were six applicants, two that were not qualified because they didn't live within the city, but six that were fully qualified. And from that pick was, and I'm going to have to learn to say her last name, Mike. Her name is Carolina Anzalidi. Carolina. I will learn to say that. She is the manager, it shows, of Brouhaha, which is a drive-by coffee place off Arctic. And maybe that was part of the people there because it, as someone said in comments, I think Councilman Daniels, it was good to see new faces on the council.
Right.
So that's what I gleaned from that part.
Yep. And so she took her seat, and later on in the meeting, we'll point out she asked a few questions and had a vote, which was interesting. So between times, there was an opportunity for the city to step up and provide some funding for Who Let the Girls Out.
Yeah, and in fact, there was someone there to speak on behalf of that this time, which hasn't happened since I think Denise Statz took such an active role and is not a business owner in town anymore. But there was someone to speak on their behalf.
That was the guy from Make a Scene, Mr. Burkhart, who's a young man who's been doing this for some time, though. And he explained the flow of money, that it didn't go to Make a Scene, but was used to make it happen.
Yeah, he explained, which has been a question and wasn't very well qualified, in their report that there was $40,000 in kind already donated to this particular event. And he clarified it better by saying that's how the businesses had reported on their donations, whether it be a $100 gift certificate or a free lunch or that sort of thing. And they sort of added them all up, and that's what already had been donated as in-kind. But right. the council went in to actually reduce the amount that they asked for.
Right, and it took a couple of hits at that in order to actually come up with the final amount. There was a little struggle over the process, but eventually it passed at $1,500.
And there was a question asked by the new council member on that event. I think that was her first question, Mike, asking a good question. Is it a reoccurring event that they've given to before? And in the past, how much have we granted? No one really knew the answer to that. I think there were some stabs at it. I think before the manager thought there was between 2,000 and 2,500 in the past, and he seemed to be quite a supporter of it, that it brought things to the community and sales taxes, that sort of a thing. But I think it was Councilwoman Moline that wanted it to drop from 2,500 to 1,500, and it did pass at that level.
And I guess I would insert here a question of process. And, you know, when agenda items are out there, something of this sort, there are two ways in which that information, I think, can be properly available for people for a discussion about dollar amount. One is that the research be done so that when the background is presented as a motion, an item for the council's consideration, that that be there. Or, secondly, when a council person has the opportunity to review the packet, they ask that question ahead of the meeting. The worst case scenario, in my opinion, is to ask the question at the meeting, because unless you have quick-fingered people who can bring all that up, or you have someone who is very familiar with the process, you get, well, we think it is. And that's a weak way to make a decision, I think.
Yeah, and it was by someone who hadn't sat at the table before. So had there been a big Excel spreadsheet for her to say all events and what they had given in the past might be a good thing to give, too. But it was good that she answered it. I think there is a better way to answer it, but good that she had a good question
absolutely.
To start it off with.
So then, let's see.
I guess on the grant, let's just stick with the grants for a second, Mike, and then we'll go to the other big thing. That had to do with a community grant to United Way.
Right.
And I haven't read through all the pages of it, but it was objected to by Councilmember Moline again, saying that it was unclear what it was for. The manager kind of tried to answer it. She, you know, didn't quite know what the process was. But at the end of the day, Mr. Bass didn't like the way they didn't have approval on exactly what the project was. I wasn't quite sure what he was going for, but at the end of the day, it has to do with an art installation,
right?
And they've kicked it to the side while they get some more information on that.
I think one theme that was asked was that a question arose around who would approve the art itself. Would the council be able to see it, or would some other body approve it, and then the council would have to live with it?
Yeah, just to backtrack from a minute or two on that other issue, Mike, who let the girls out. You know, amendments can be made before the council meeting, too. You can have an amendment ready to go, written out for everybody. And I don't see that done very often at the council, a lot more so at the borough. But I would encourage that to start happening, too. I think it's the public has a better aware of what you're doing and your reasoning behind it, and it's less sausage-making at the table. And Ms. Moline is pretty new councilwoman. She may not know that system, but I think it would benefit them to start doing that a little bit more.
Well, certainly there have been members of the council, and mayor included, have been there around a long time. That preparation ahead, the reading, not just, say, the morning before the meeting, but as soon as you receive the packet so that you can prepare an amendment, that you can talk to people and not try to craft things at that meeting, leads to usually better quality and easier passage, if you will. Yep, I agree.
So do you want to talk about the honorary plaque?
Well, let's do one more thing before then, because the there was one other, I think, event that was interesting to me, and that was Sarah Heath, the new attorney, asked the counsel how she should prepare and present her comments when she has a report, particularly around the question of being asked questions by individual council members, and that seems to be an okay thing to do. It happens, not all the time and not by everybody, but does happen, and how to report that to the council in general. And after some discussion, a look at the mayor's review of what happened happens over there at Wasilla, they basically said, well, you know, give us a summary report and let's see if this rises to the level that it requires something different. But I was very happy to see that she clearly asked that question in order to do a good job.
Right. How did they handle that when you were on the council, Mike? I know it's been a few years, but was there any reporting on what individual council members had asked for attorney's time? Because there must be a certain amount of time they're not in the office. They're not there to take.
Well, I would put it this way, that typically in my memory, both when I was there and subsequently, most of the questions that are asked are big questions that pretty much come from either the body as a whole or the mayor. And I think that's the point. Occasionally you'll have somebody who will reach out, and that's within the rules, if you will, and ask for a clarification so they'll understand what's happening. But if one person has it, it's quite possible, unless you're a new person who's asking, there'll be more than one person who's interested, and then it becomes literally a council question or an issue that's addressed. If you remember more recently, there have been many, many meetings that have gone by where the attorney's report is a no report.
Nor was he in the room because of COVID, and he also came out of Anchorage, and Sarah Heath, of course, lives out here in the valley. So
yeah, I suspect you're going to. My sense about it is that you'll be seeing her more, and she will be reporting, particularly as she gets her feet under her and gets an understanding of what people want, because she's here to provide the service and she works for the council that the council needs. So I expect to be hearing more from her. But I just want to make sure we pointed to that. And let's go on to the plaque. How about you start?
Well, I was going to let you start. you're probably more familiar with the MTA Center than I am. A little disclaimer, I do know the widow that appeared for what everybody has lovingly called for a long time, her husband, the Hammer, quite an iconic figure in the hockey community, and I'll let you start off, Mike.
Okay, so this one had all the features of what happened. A basic question: the widow, the Hammer's widow, was there. I've known her for decades, and there were many, many other people who spoke. I indeed spoke at one point. Because my sense was there's still a question, even after it was discussed, about just what happened. We know one thing, that is that a plaque, which was a memorial plaque, was put up at the event center, and similar plaques have been put up in other ice rink areas, in other venues. For some reason, someone removed the plaque, and the person who's somewhat in charge directly is Cotton Gore right now. And, of course, Brad Hansen supervises that whole area. And the widow's report to the council raised a series of questions because she said, I'm very familiar with all these people, with Brett Hansen and others. I contacted them, and basically I wasn't given much response. You know, basically that this is the way it is. And a reference to a policy that precluded that happening, that it having the memorial there. Now, I was looking forward to something very specific about the policy itself. What did the policy say? And more importantly, who specifically removed it? I mean, who actually removed it? Who made the decision to remove it? What we had instead of that kind of detail was a copy of a letter that the manager had written to her saying this should not have happened to the effect, I'm paraphrasing here, this was unfortunate. And we heard from all of the council members saying that was an unfortunate thing. And the mayor was able to reveal that he thought that 5 years ago, the general policies that govern these kinds of things had been reviewed and updated. And the specific policy that apparently guided the removal of the plaque was to be updated and taken care of. That was 5 years ago. For whatever reasons, it has remained undone. Now, it's interesting that Mr. Best, Mr. Hansen, and Mr. Carrington were all on the council at that time and subsequently have had roles to play. So but that happens. Okay, it did not seem to cause a problem, perhaps. Other issues rose and occupied their attention. But here it was. It apparently was the guide, and they took it down. Well, the question was raised by a number of people. I raised it too. And ultimately, it was Council Member Brian Daniels that raised it. Well, put it back up. Put it back to where it was.
And let's work on the code.
And then work on the code, because it was going to be at least 2 weeks before you could begin that, and maybe longer before you'd revise it. In the meantime, you have made whole this situation and go on. Well, initially, the discussion sort of frittered. It just evaporated. And the manager said he would do it. He could do it if the council directed. There didn't seem to be any legal problem with doing that. But after a number of people further spoke, it was at comments that Mr. Daniels moved to have it be put up. It was seconded by the deputy mayor. And there was a long discussion, and Mr. Best led the way in saying, he appreciated the importance of this and all, but that he felt that a code should be followed. His argument was persuasive to the point that members Valerius and Combs agreed. And then the vote was taken. It was 3-3, and it came down to the newest council member who also voted no. And I was left saying, I really want to hear more, because if I direct listeners to the video, you can go and look yourself and see what happened. I found there were missing pieces of information, and I guess I didn't quite see how putting it back up and then working on this policy, which was apparently defective to begin with, would be a problem. But that's my take. You go for it.
Yeah. Well, one thing that did not come up at all, and I'm not sure it matters, but I'm surprised no one brought it up, is the Brett Arena where they had already put a plaque up with a lot of celebration, because he, again, the Hammer, is well-beloved, and his wife was always a staunch caregiver and advocate for him, was put up. That particular ice arena isn't owned by the city of Wasilla. It's owned by the borough. Now, I don't know what is in the borough code for plaques, but nonetheless, just the fact that it was never brought up, there were two different owners, I think it's important that the public know that. Secondly, I agree with you, Mike. Unless you think there's going to be a whole bunch of honorary plaques put up willy-nilly between now and a month from now, when this will finally get through all the gauntlet of approval and force them to do what they should have done 5 years ago and rewrite the code. I think it, I had to agree. I would have liked to have seen it go back up personally. I think it was making a solution to a problem that probably wouldn't have existed in a month.
Right.
And although I suppose every time you make an exception, someone can point to that exception.
There was some irony in all of this, of course. After kicking the policy down the road 5 years, they kicked the policy down the road again, maybe 2 weeks, maybe longer. And, of course,
a month if they have to advertise and then think it'd be on the consent agenda. But.
And also, the final vote, no, the newest council member will not be there at the next meeting.
Right.
I came away thinking that there might have been a better solution than an either or about this, and I'm awaiting more information. I'm also curious because one person absent from this discussion and should be, I think, be there in order to hear the detail was Mr. Hansen himself. He was not at the meeting. And I came away saying, well, this is not quite appropriate. We're talking about a situation, an event that the most knowledgeable person about the whole thing is not here. And that was curious to me. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah. Very odd, the whole thing.
Okay. It's important to mention that the recall has been certified but not presented to the council. So on the 8th of February, the clerk has indicated that she'll be presenting the fact that these three recall petitions are approved, and that will start the count, which can run as long as 75 days for setting the timeline for the election. What that means is that you're likely to see the election sometime in mid-April.
Right. Yep. The council won't take a vote on that. It's just advisory.
Right. It's in process. Right. I don't think, unless the council raised some questions or pointed out that having this on Easter Sunday is not the best time to have it. I don't know. I'm not suggesting that would happen, but I'm saying that I think the clerk will have looked carefully at this, and I believe I believe there will be perspective from the new attorney and the mayor as well. So I suspect it'll roll as I've just described. But we've just run out of time. So,
oh, boy. One meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, a borough meeting.
Yes, we'll do it. All right. Well, stay well out there, citizen lobbyists. Thank you very much.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, Mike.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.